Corinthians chapter 10. As I spoke during the announcements on seeking God and sincerely praying specifically for what God is doing here, there's something that the Lord put on my heart that I don't know if we're going to spend time in this or it turn into more than one service, but I want to share in this service on pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds, and this is something God put in my heart. I don't know all the reasons for it, but I suspect He wants some strongholds pulled down. So in praying, I said, okay, I'll minister on that. I don't know, again, if I'm supposed to spend weeks on this or just one service. So I'm going to highlight this kind of tonight. We could spend hours on this subject, but I just want to do what God wants me to do and share what He wants me to share and see where we are with it. So if I don't get done, if I don't get out all that's in me, we will revisit it. But otherwise, I want you to understand that it's important that you know what a stronghold is and that you know some basic things about pulling them down in your lives or in our church and in our church culture. So this is vital to our everyday walk with the Lord. Look at what Paul says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, Paul is saying, look, I'm gentle when I'm with you. I'm meek when I'm with you. When I'm away from you, I'm pretty bold. I'm pretty bold. And I'm believing that you're going to do what God tells you to do. And when your obedience is fulfilled, now I can be bold and bring these strongholds down. Now I can operate in weapons of warfare that are not carnal in order to bring deliverance, in order to bring safety to the people of God. But if you're not going to be obedient, if you're going to rebel against God and the works of God, I can't deal with a stronghold if you're going to keep giving it place through disobedience in your life. And so there's a point as an individual that you're willing to deal with strongholds and bring them down. As a church, strongholds can be established, and we have to be obedient to God before we can operate in these weapons to bring those strongholds down. I've experienced strongholds in my own heart and in my own life. I've experienced strongholds in my family that had to be brought down. I've experienced strongholds in our church and in geographical areas. Entire areas having a different stronghold over the entire area, and that has to be dealt with, but it can't be dealt with until our obedience is fulfilled in God, is what he's talking about. So I want to be successful in bringing any stronghold down in my life, my family, our church, a geographical area. So I need to understand these things. So what is a stronghold? What is a stronghold? And there's a lot of different ideas on what these strongholds are that need to be pulled down. If you're taking notes, write down 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14, 19, and 23. Before I share how the word stronghold was used under the old covenant and that terminology being familiar to the early Christians' lives, I want to share the definition in the Greek because it may be different than what you're thinking. A stronghold is a fortress or a castle. A fortress or a castle. A stronghold is that which offers defense or protection or refuge from an ensuing enemy. A stronghold is a place that offers refuge or protection from an ensuing enemy. And when you look at how this word is used in the Bible, you can see the context of it in the Old Covenant usage of it. And specifically in that one chapter, it's the easiest chapter to run it down, you'll find that David was fleeing an enemy, Saul. That Saul intended harm for David. He intended to hurt David, even tried to take his life at one point in his insanity. And David was fleeing this pursuing enemy called Saul, and he was dwelling in strongholds. It specifically says in verse 14, verse 19, and in verse 29 that David hid in strongholds from Saul, who was pursuing him. These strongholds were caves in the side of the mountains. They were caves in the side of the hills in which if an enemy was pursuing you, you go into that cave, and now that cave offers refuge, that cave offers protection, etc., etc. When you look at, again, the Greek concordance and the definition, a fortress or a castle, now you know what a stronghold is. Listen, strongholds are not demons. Strongholds are not demons, but rather where demons find refuge from an ensuing enemy, God. I'm going to say it again. Strongholds are not demons. Demons, the Bible says, you cast out. Strongholds have to be brought down. There's a difference in casting out and bringing down. Demons are to be cast out with the word of the Lord. Strongholds have to be dismantled. Strongholds have to be brought down, and that's different than a demon. A stronghold is not a demon in your life, but a stronghold is where demons find refuge from an ensuing enemy, God. The devil uses our weaknesses and strongholds and builds these strongholds in our lives to ensnare us and entrap us. We have to learn what the strongholds are in our lives and how to pull them down. And man, the success and joy and victory that I have found in my relationship with the Lord began when I started tearing down strongholds in my life. I found there were some things in my heart and in my life that Satan found refuge and ensnared me through those strongholds, and God wasn't able to deal with him till I brought the stronghold down. Amen. Once I began to learn to bring strongholds down in my own life, the enemy was exposed, and I was able to cast him out with the power of the Lord once I destroyed his castle, his fortress, his hiding place in my life. Man, there's some things that have us bound, saints, that are not demonic, but there's demonic activity behind it, and we need to learn to deal with the stronghold and how to bring it down. I know in my own life, the strongholds in the beginning in 1980, after I got set free by the supernatural revelation of the cross, I began to see that I had some insecurities, and that was a stronghold in my heart, some inferiorities, some deep-seated complexes in which a castle had been built, a fortress had been built, and the devil was using that stronghold to ensnare me. Once I dealt with the stronghold, he had no place to hide, and I was able to ship his saddle home. Hallelujah. I'll give you another example of a stronghold. Stronghold are these thoughts and these concepts, contrary to the word of God, that one thought, one brick at a time, Satan builds a castle and hides from God in that castle. In that castle. One of the strongholds in my life was poverty. It was a stronghold. I didn't have a demon problem, but I had a stronghold of poverty. I thought poverty was synonymous to holiness. And that I thought to really be a holy person, you couldn't have anything. And that poverty and godliness were closely related. That if you're really going to be godly, you got to be poor. That was a stronghold in my life. And I mean, it took a while for me to dismantle that. Some strongholds, if you think about your life and when I think about mine, there are some strongholds that, I mean, the power of God has hid in my life and demolished that castle instantly, and I was free from the enemy hiding there and ensnaring me. Other strongholds in my life, and I don't have the answer to this. This is a part of the mystery of the kingdom. I had to dismantle it one brick at a time as I walk with God. And poverty was one of those strongholds that it took one brick at a time. And I mean, I thought all money was tainted. You ever heard that? Like if you're taking up an offering and somebody was to give a large amount, and let's say that money came from ungodly sources in the mind of some people, they'll say things like, that's tainted money. I found out it's all tainted. It ain't enough. I mean, for the next year, every dime is tainted. It ain't enough to fulfill all the things and dreams and vision that's in our heart and for this geographical area. And so it took me time to dismantle that stronghold, listen, where I could receive the prosperity of God. You can sit there and nod your head and act spiritual that, well, I guess God's will is to prosper, but if poverty is a stronghold in your life, you're not going to experience prosperity just by agreeing. You got to learn to dismantle those thought processes and renew your mind to new thought processes concerning the prosperity of God. Do you have any people have a stronghold built up in their heart that believe healing, died and passed away with the last apostle? It's a stronghold. They really believe God doesn't heal. So they're suspect of any manifestation of healing. It's a stronghold that Satan finds refuge in and flees an ensuing God, an enemy. And yet, man, when you start dismantling that one brick at a time, I'm telling you, the devil can ensnare you into poverty forever once you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Amen. God wills above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So let me give you some quick examples. I've given some in my own personal life there, but some quick examples of a church that can have strongholds. Do you know there are things that can happen to you in church that can damage your thought processes, damage your emotions, and Satan then build a stronghold. And now he can keep you out of church, or he can keep you away from the people of God because of this stronghold. That stronghold has to be dismantled in your life. Traditions, for instance, become a stronghold in church culture. The traditions of men, Mark chapter 7, say, make the word of God of none effect. And sometimes our traditions, and listen to me carefully, they can keep us from obeying God, and the devil hide in those traditions to ensnare us and to hold us back. Boy, thank you for that thunderous applause. And traditions don't start off bad. Tradition is just a methodology that serves the purposes of God. But when a tradition becomes a stronghold, it's a methodology that no longer serves its original purpose, but it owns our allegiance. We have sentimental attaches to it. We have emotions attached to it. We have three generations attached to it. What do you mean you're pulling the pews? My great-great-great-great-great-grandma gave that pew. You know, your great-great-grandma walked with Jesus evidently that far back. Sorry, at least you got it. Praise God. I mean, and we're attached to something your great-great-great-great-great-grandma gave? When great-great-great-great-grandma gave it, it probably had a purpose, and it was God, and it was divine, and we celebrated it. But right now, there's a different purpose. To fulfill the will of God, we can't keep pews right now. Do you know how many people will be ensnared by that? And it's not the devil, it's a stronghold that the devil uses to ensnare them. Pews are not holy. Neither are chairs. We don't know what the next thing that comes along that might cause all of us to have a cardiac arrest. Amen. And one day we have to go, look, the chairs aren't holy either. And we got to get rid of all the chairs. I don't know what we would sit in. I'm looking forward to the new thing. I'm believing for buzzers in the chair and an electrical shock that when you don't respond, I go, bzzz. You come out of your chair shouting hallelujah and praising God. Bzzz. Wouldn't that be awesome? Heat warmers. That I can warm your seat. When I was in school, they used to warm our seats. I had a teacher say, you want me to warm you up, boy? I'd say, no, I'm warm enough, sir. Some of you have no idea what I just said. Strongholds are belief systems. Strongholds are belief systems contrary to the truth. Amen. And they're strong. The best way to define this in your practical application is anything that has a stronghold on you is a stronghold. And people have belief systems that the devil has built one brick at a time, one thought at a time, one high thing at a time, one imagination at a time, and it is a fortress in their life. And God's not able to move in their life, not because of the devil, but because of the stronghold that the devil finds refuge in. And we want to deal with the devil, but we don't want to deal with our strongholds. and I love you. But even if I cast the devil out and you don't deal with the stronghold, he'll come back seven times worse. Amen. And our belief systems, it hurts when all of a sudden you're reading scripture after scripture and it flies right in the face of everything you've been taught and everything you've believed. It's not easy. It hurts. Nobody likes to be wrong. Amen. I need a better amen. Surely I'm not the only one that just kills me to be wrong. But that's why I got married. I got used to it. Oh, come on. Man, went from a revival to a riot. I wasn't being mean. I'm just saying, man, even in marriage, it's just, I was wrong. It's so hard. Amen. What if you've believed a lie your whole life? I remember a man got mad at me one time. I'm sorry. These things just come to me. A man got mad at me one time, got in my face, and said, young man, I've been believing this way longer than you've been alive. How many of you know that's a long time to be wrong? And longer won't make it better. If you're believing wrong a long time won't make it better. It's kind of like you're preaching. If it ain't any good, longer won't make it better. Cut the puppy short. Amen. If it ain't any good, longer won't make it better. If you're wrong, being wrong a long time won't make it right. And if you've been believing a lie and you've built your whole life around a lie, can you imagine how difficult it is to pull that stronghold down? So belief systems that are contrary to the truth, false doctrines, generational curses. Generational curses technically are strongholds. It is a stronghold that's passed down from generation to generation, and people just accept the stronghold. We're just that way. That's the way us Smiths are. How many of you know that in Jesus, you don't have to be the way the Smiths are? Amen. I thought most of my hang-ups were genetic. I thought it's just the way it is. I was born this way. There's nothing I can do about it. Every sheriff, as far back as you can go, was messed up in the same areas I was messed up in. Yeah, it's called a generational curse. Yeah, it's a stronghold that even gets passed down from generation to generation, and people just accept it. I mean, I had a man get mad at me because I was challenging anger. That's pretty dumb. And he said, you don't understand, this runs in our family. We're all angry. Come on now, preach it. I'm listening. I got a cue. Get over it. Just because your mom and dad and your uncles are and your grandparents were and your great-grandparents were angry all the time doesn't mean you have to be angry all the time. Amen or oh me. And I don't know what runs in your family, but the devil is going to run wild in your life through strife and anger and contention. And you need to renounce that. You need to tear that stronghold down. That stronghold down. Now listen carefully. Strongholds are thoughts contrary to God's word that have been accepted as true. Thoughts that are contrary to God's word that are accepted as true. And like bricks laid upon one another, they become castles that Satan hides from an ensuing enemy God, and there ensnares us. Again, we have individual strongholds that we all have to deal with. We have family strongholds that we have to deal with. There's cultural strongholds. Some strongholds are indigenous to the people of that area, that an entire area has such groupthink that is contrary to God's word, that the whole geographical area is enslaved to that group thinking. Many times races have group thinking, that there's a stronghold in the entire race that Satan finds refuge in and ensnares them and ensnare them. And those strongholds have to come down. We have to pull them down. And again, churches even can have strongholds we have to be careful, and I don't have time to really explain this in detail, but we have to be careful not to allow negative strongholds to be built in our culture. And listen, we can learn to build good strongholds in the sense of there's a positive side to this in which you can build strongholds for you to find refuge in from an ensuing enemy, the devil, in which God becomes your high tower. God becomes your reward. God becomes your shield. God becomes your strength. God becomes your refuge from an ensuing enemy, the devil. And you can literally in your life, and I've learned to do this, to build positive strongholds that when I get in a pickle, I run into those strongholds and meet with God. I've been spending some time with God in some strongholds that have taken me 30 years to build that I have found such great refuge in. And I won't have time probably to teach that side of it, but I definitely want to continue to pull down any individual stronghold in my heart out. Any attitude contrary to the Word of God and will of God. Any thought process, belief systems. You know, if your belief systems aren't being challenged, you're not in a good church. I don't want anybody to affirm something wrong in my life. I want to be ministered to. So look at the thought process of a stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'll come back to that in closing. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the process of a stronghold. It's from the top down as you read it. Stronghold, imagination, high thing, and thoughts. If you reverse that now, you know how a stronghold is built. It starts with your thoughts, then it becomes a high thing. Then if it ever gets into your imagination, your personality, your being, that part of your soul that's being saved, it'll go into that fourth process of a stronghold. And man, you don't want strongholds in your life. You want to pull them down. So let's go through the process now of how they're built so then we can know how to reverse them. Number one, thoughts. Your thoughts. Your thought life. No stronghold, no castle, no fortress that Satan can find refuge in began overnight in your life. No, it started with a thought. Every stronghold starts with a thought. And here's the thought. Hath God said? Hath God said? Did God really say? Hath God said? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you don't keep your thoughts right, they will go awry, and it'll begin this process. You'll start with questioning God. You'll start with hearing this voice in your head. Hath God said, did God really say, by his stripes you're healed? Did God really say, he wills that you prosper and be in health? Did God say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Did God say, you can do all things through God? It always starts with a thought contrary to the Word of God. Now here's where the problem comes. You're going to have thoughts continually contrary to the Word of God. Welcome to life. You're always going to be having thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. That's when you have to make a choice now, and that's the second stage, a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Once you hear, hath God said, you waver a little bit, you wonder, did God really say, did he really mean? The next thing is you either exalt that thought above what God says or you bring it captivity by the power of God. In other words, it starts off with a thought. Then you hear, yeah, but this group says, I know God's word says, but this group says, I know God's word says, but your family say, I know God says, but the politically correct crowd says, I know what God's word says, but science says, and the sad thing is, we have backslidden so far in this country and become so politically charged with political agendas that it is hard to tell what science is anymore and junk science. People are using science and manipulating science for a personal agenda instead of letting science speak for itself and pure science. So even today when you hear science has proven, you don't know if that's true anymore. So it's God says, but the college professor says, and you got to make a choice. Are you going to exalt what God says or what a professor says? Are you going to exalt what God says or the 6 o'clock news? Are you going to exalt what God says or the politically correct crowd? Are you going to exalt what God says or what religion says God says? You have to make a choice. And you're either going to exalt in a high place what God said and stop the process, or you're going to start meditating on and you're going to choose to believe what man says above what God said. You're well on your road to a stronghold now. You're well on your road to bondage, because if it gets to the third stage, it is very demanding of your allegiance. And that's the third stage of an imagination. And this one's a little difficult. When you look it up in a Greek concordance, it means reasoning that is hostile toward God and His Word. Reasoning that is hostile to God and His Word. Arguments based in pride and arrogance. Do you know when you first start off with, now the world says this sexual orientation is normal, but God says it's a perversion. Now I gotta choose, who am I gonna listen to and what am I gonna exalt? Once you exalt what the world says above what God says, and it becomes now ingrained in your heart, now you become hostile toward God and His Word. In the first stage, you just waver. I think God said, but doggone it. Science says, the professor says, 6 o'clock news says, political powers say. And so in the first stages, you're not hostile. You're not mad at God. You're not warring against God. You're not arguing with God. You're seeking the truth. But once you exalt what the world says above what God says, it gets a high thing and you don't take it captive. If it gets into that imagination, suddenly you get deceived and you actually believe what the world believes versus what God's Word says. You're in trouble now. Once it becomes an imagination, a reasoning that's hostile toward God. I've watched this my whole life, my whole ministry, that people who want to live in sin and rebel against God, it always starts off with thoughts. They exalt those thoughts above the Word of God. Once it becomes ingrained into their soul, now they become hostile toward the truth, hostile toward the preacher, hostile toward morality. I could give some examples, but I love life. And you need to do some thinking on your own. Some thinking on your own. And I could name right off the top of my head 10 things in our culture that 30 years ago, people wouldn't even take thoughts that that's right, or that's normal, or that's okay, or that's where they wouldn't even take the thoughts. But boy, if you do enough sitcoms, if Hollywood puts out enough movies, if the political crowd begins to affirm it, if preachers that are false teachers and false prophets and false apostles get a leg in there, even in the church, before you know it, you are hostile toward the Word of God now, and you say, that doesn't mean what it says. Amen. And now it's a stronghold, and Satan finds refuge in that stronghold, fleeing his enemy, God, and you get ensnared. And until you're willing to bring that stronghold down, you're going to experience some great, great grief in your life. Listen at the Amplified Bible of this word, imaginations. It says, we refute arguments and theories and reasonings. You know, it's amazing what I've watched over the history of my ministry of 30 years now. I can remember when I would say something, people would truly ask me a question about it. If I said something that flew in the face of the culture, if I said something that flew in the face of religion or flew in the face of belief systems, they sincerely would ask me a question. Are you saying, does this mean that? What about this? How do I balance it out? Today, people don't ask questions. Listen, they start questioning me. They actually have believed a lie for so long, and the culture has just saturated their minds with these lies and all these perversions and all these anti-Christ stuff that they don't ask questions anymore. They question me and they attack me. They're hostile. They're hostile. And you can't reason with them. They're argumentative. They're prideful. They're arrogant. Listen at the New Living Translation of this word, imaginations. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from the knowledge of God. Proud obstacles that keeps people from the knowledge of God. See, once it becomes an imagination, your pride kicks in. I'm smarter than the preacher. I'm smarter than the Bible. I'm smarter than God. Bless God's heart. He really doesn't know what real love is and what real kindness is and what real politeness. On and on they go with their arrogance, in their immorality, and in their anti-Christ theology, and in their anti-God ways. That's become a stronghold. You can see it in the culture. Certain issues, again, that we wouldn't even question years ago have become a stronghold. It's a stronghold. Young people are facing some strongholds that, barring the power of God, we're not going to be able to pull them down, and they're going to be ensnared. They're going to be ensnared. Now, I'm not saying all you old-timers are pure as wind-driven snow. Amen. But most of the old-timers, I've hammered your strongholds so hard, we've pulled so many down, that's why you're so free in the first place. Is you had to let go of some strongholds in order to see the power of God in your life. Each generation has its set of strongholds that have to be pulled down. Now let's talk about warfare. How do we pull them down? Go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to answer a lot of questions here. God has given us weapons. They're spiritual weapons, not carnal weapons. Weapons like the name of Jesus. That's a spiritual weapon. Weapon like the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a spiritual weapon in our lives. The armor of God in and of itself are spiritual weapons. And the battle, many times, in defeating principalities and powers, is not giving them a place of refuge. And you have to skillfully use the weapons of warfare in your life. That's why teaching is so important. That's why assembling is so important, is that we learn how to walk in these spiritual weapons and use our authority properly in the kingdom of God. Well, one of our main spiritual weapons, even revealed in Ephesians chapter 6 with the armor of God, is the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven and earth. The Word of God has power in it. The Word of God has an anointing on it to perform itself. And that's why we have to be people of the Word of God. We have to be seeking the Word of God with all of our hearts, because it is such a profound weapon in the kingdom of God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Jeremiah is being encouraged by the Lord that he is sanctified. He's a prophet called unto the nations. And look at what the Lord said to him in verse 9. Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Man, those of us who speak, those of us who share, we need the Lord to touch our mouth. We need the anointing on our tongue. We need the wisdom of God on our tongue. We need to, as I taught you a few weeks ago, learn to prophesy under the anointing of God over people's lives. Because many times that's what's happening in prophecy. When you're anointed and you begin to speak the anointed Word of God, the inspired Word of God over somebody, there's stuff happening internally where God's pulling some stuff down. It's miraculous. The Word of God, when approached reverently, the Word of God, when shared in excellence, has a profound effect on people's lives. So God's touching his mouth. And so God touched his mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So it's important that I, as a speaker, as best I can, allow God's words to be put in my mouth. Every speaker is human. Can I get a witness? Everyone who shares is human. And so we do have our own personality that gets in there. We do have our own words that get mixed in there because of our humanity. But at large, especially those in leadership, we need to speak the Word of God. Amen. We need to share it in excellence, simplicity, and in accuracy. He says, and look at verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms. Underline this. To root out and to pull down. Everybody say pull down. And to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Anybody's head spinning besides mine? You know, if I had my own way, I would want God to just use me to be a planter. And if I had my own way, I'd want God at best to use me as a builder, though. Let me build in people. That's my nature. My heart, my personality is, I want to plant the seed in your heart and watch it grow. I want to help you build. But you know, I don't get to pick, if it's God's word in my mouth, how he's going to perform it in people's lives. Because I found out that some people, you can't build and you can't plant till you pull down, until you root up. Come on. And the same word for some of you will be building you up. For others, I'm tearing some stuff down. And the truth is, I'm not doing either. It's the word. It's the power of the word of God. That the word of God will correct some people, encourage other people at the same time. Only God knows where you are. You don't even know where you are. I've used this term publicly, but I got it in prayer. I said, God, where am I? Where am I going, and can I get there from here? Y'all don't understand that. But sometimes in your life, you feel like, where in the world am I? Where am I going, and can I even get there from here? Most of us have no idea where we're really at. There's so many strongholds that unless those things get pulled down, unless things that have taken root in your heart get pulled up, then there can't be a building and there can't be a planting. And so I catch myself in ministering sometimes, and the Spirit of God will just come upon me, and man, I feel like the madman of Gadara. I'm after everybody. And I'm breathing fire, and I'm sniffing and snorting like a Brahma bull, and I don't like it. Amen. I want to be as nice as possible. But you know, some strongholds don't respond to nice. Come on. Some strongholds don't respond to kindness. We got to pull it down. We got to root it up. We got to do some ripping and some stripping before we can renew. Did you know mind renewal doesn't take place till you displace old thoughts and replace them with new thoughts? Yeah. The true mind renewal doesn't happen right now. No. Right now, strongholds are being challenged and imaginations are being shook up. High things that you've exalted are being questioned. And thought processes are having to be challenged for some of you right now, even as I speak. I could bring up any subject, and I promise you, among us, there'll be somebody with a stronghold there. And while others might be shouting, they're only shouting because they've already brought that stronghold down. Amen. That's why sometimes it's hard to get all of you to shout. It's hard for me to find one stronghold we've all pulled down. But when I hit it, I get excited, and now we can start planting and we can start building. See, most people aren't even willing to displace an old thought that is contrary to truth, much less replace that thought with God's thoughts. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. God's word is powerful. And we have to trust it. I have to trust it to do its work. Because I don't know of a stronghold right now in anybody's heart, but God knows. And His word will tear it down if you'll let it. His word will rip it up. I mean, there's some things I had so deep in my heart. Now, what part of my heart am I talking about? I'm talking about my soul. Many things that the secular world has tagged are really strongholds. Like fear, phobias, insecurities, dysfunctionality, ADD. On and on, all these terms come from the world that become strongholds in people's lives, that they just accept it. Do you know that we didn't know for thousands of years that goofy people were bipolar? How in the world did we make it? Think about that. Do you know how many people believe now they're bipolar? It's just nothing I can do about it. I'm schizo. Amen or oh me. And that becomes a stronghold in their life that the devil finds refuge in and destroys your life through it. You believing there ain't nothing you can do. I'm bipolar. Amen or oh me. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm not saying some of you don't have some mental issues. Because Lord knows half of you do. I'm saying, why can't God heal that? And you're not even believing it anymore. It's become a stronghold. It's just the way you are. Amen or oh me. You'd be shocked if we just kept naming stuff. How many things have become strongholds in people's lives, and the devil's hiding in that stronghold, ensnaring you. And you need to pull that thing down. You need to take God's word and confess what God says about you, not what the medical community has tagged you with. Amen or oh me. In Hebrews chapter 10, before I read this, I'm fixing to close here. Because again, there's a lot of ways to deal with these strongholds. God's word is first and foremost in dealing with any stronghold, because all strongholds start with thoughts. So you got to change your thoughts. You got to renew your minds, no matter what you're hung in, no matter what your hang up is or your stronghold might be. It starts with thoughts, highly exalted, then it becomes an imagination and a stronghold. So the only reversing it is starting with dismantling it one brick at a time, one thought at a time. Where'd that thought come from? And what does God say? And change that thought to what God said. And I had to do this early in my Christian life to be used like God uses me today, because of all these inferiorities, all these complexes, all these complexes that I had. And I had to displace all those thoughts that I'd been told my whole life, negative about me. And I had to replace those negative thoughts that had become strongholds in my life with God's thoughts of the new creation. That God says, I'm righteous and truly holy. God says, I'm the head and not the tail. God says, I'm above only and not beneath. God says, I'm the seed of Abraham. God says, I'm the new Jerusalem that came down out of heaven. God says, I'm the Israel of God. God says, I'm a Jew. That was my deliverance from poverty. You'll never find a Jew believe it's God's will to be poor. Am I telling the truth or what? I've never met a Jew that says, yeah, God wills for me to be poor. And I'm a Jew according to Romans 2. Praise the Lord. I'm the seed of Abraham. Yes. See, all those things began to take root in me, and it delivered me from insecurity. It delivered me from complexes, and on it go with a fear of people. I don't have a fear of people anymore because of my fear of God. I had to displace fear of people and replace it with a fear of God Almighty. And it brought the stronghold down, because you can't pastor if you fear people. You know, there's never been one sermon I made everybody happy over, not one. 32 years of preaching, and I don't think I've had one message that everybody said, good preaching, little preacher. Somebody gets mad. Somebody disagrees. Somebody has a high thing, usually in a stronghold that, oh my God, I touched it, and they're not willing to deal with it. Amen. So I had to get over the fear of rejection. It was a stronghold. The fear of rejection was a stronghold in my life. And Satan was finding refuge in that stronghold and ensnared me. Once I brought the stronghold down, I broke the power of Satan through the name of Jesus and the word of God. I don't fear rejection anymore. I don't want you to reject me. I love you. I want to be accepted, but I'm already accepted in the beloved. I find total peace with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, lots of weapons that God's given us. Repentance is a spiritual weapon. Forgiveness is one of the strongest weapons you can use. And I think we're going to take communion next Wednesday, because Jacob and I just feel strong about it, and other pastors, that we just want to take communion because we're getting our hearts set for this transition. And many, many of the strongholds came from hurt and you wouldn't forgive. And so Satan, one brick, one emotion at a time, built up this stronghold, and God's willing to do something in your life, but you got that stronghold you come up against, and you start feeling it again, and God wants to tear that thing down, and he does it through forgiveness. Here's what I want to talk to you about. That was my introduction. Here's what I really want to get to you. One of the weapons that we have forfeited, this is one of the most powerful spiritual weapons that 9 out of 10 believers don't even know is in the Bible, is the fellowship of the brethren. Fellowshipping, assembling together as God's body, is a spiritual weapon. It's spiritual strength. We are to forsake not. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us draw near. Everybody say us. It didn't say you. I'm not saying you can't draw near to God. I'm saying it says, let us. See, God is into us. It's Jesus, us in the middle of G. Jesus. It's not Jesus without us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Notice strongholds can't start till you start wavering about what God has said. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that if promised, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of our most powerful spiritual weapons. Let me just back up in closing and just say the most powerful spiritual weapon in my life has been the body of Christ loving on me and fellowshipping with me and helping me to walk out the things of God. Do you realize every time we get together, do you know what praise and worship is really all about? Pulling down strongholds. I'm putting God first place in my life. And there's a power in worshiping together. There's a power in assembling together to help bring strongholds down in individual lives. Do you know what life groups are all about? It's all about you committing to someone and helping someone walk out their strongholds. Live life together. If it wasn't for the church, I don't know where I would be. If it wasn't for people that loved me and accepted me and I could talk to and say, man, I'm struggling with insecurity. I'm struggling with poverty. I'm struggling with all these things. And somebody that had pulled a stronghold down in their life helped me pull them down in my heart and life. Hallelujah. Amen. The assembling of ourselves together is where the word is to go out and bam, start uprooting things that aren't of Jesus and pulling down things that have been erected in your heart that are holding you back from the things of God. The prayer time, again, the fellowship time, communion, us taking communion together. The reason it's so powerful, it's at that table that we reflect and go, wait a second, I am totally forgiven. I forgive everybody their trespasses. You talk about pulling strongholds down. Most strongholds came from either false doctrine or some kind of experience that you got hurt. And the devil skillfully, one brick at a time, with your emotions and your thoughts, built this stronghold. And at the communion table, strongholds are pulled down. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Again, I don't know if this was supposed to be just one night, but I want to encourage you to search your hearts. Don't protect any strongholds. Don't be embarrassed about strongholds. Everybody's got them. Everybody's got them. You know, when you got saved, it was your spirit that got changed. That part of your heart's the part that got saved. You still have the same soul, the same mind, the same will, the same emotion, same personality you had before you got saved. And I tell you, there was some damage for many of us that was done, that Jesus has forgiven us and cleansed us and broke the power of it. But if we don't understand it, if we don't accept our freedom, the devil deceives us and builds those strongholds. Boy, in the name of Jesus, we're pulling them puppies down. Amen. One stronghold at a time. One stronghold at a time. Man, I just believe part of what God is doing is he's pulling some strongholds down so that we can have a new start even when we go over to our new facility. Did you know there are people? Everybody say, I love.
I love.
Brother Dwayne. Now, if I call your number, if I dial your number, don't get upset at me for this. I don't know of anybody in the natural. So everybody be cool over this. Again, if the phone rings, though, you need to answer it. Do you know how many people allow a building to shape their philosophy, to shape their thought processes? And there are people that really believe if we was to go into a building with history, that history would affect us, not realizing that no history of a building can affect us. We affect the building. But for some people, that's a stronghold. I know of people that are hung up on things that happened on that property 30 years ago. That's a stronghold, darling. We need to pull that puppy down. You don't need to be afraid of a building. You need to be afraid of that stronghold and pull that stronghold down. Amen. There's some people that what we experience here becomes a stronghold instead of just a blessing. You know, God, if we have to give something up, God's going to give us something better. Amen. And it becomes a stronghold. Thank God for the screen. I love the screen, but we don't worship the screen. Amen. But for some people, that's a stronghold. Bless God. I got saved there with that screen. The screen didn't save you. Yeah, but I just love the screen. Then buy one and put it in your house. Am I making my point? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to really preach and get in your life. I'm saying, man, I'm not letting anything, any stronghold hold me back from the purpose of God for my life. I'm pulling them down, amen? I'm pulling them down. And so I pray that you were glad that you came today and that you got something of eternal value, amen? I was blessed. Let's stay.